Welcome into the Federation Hockey Podcast. I'm Jim Padgett, and we've got a lot of ice to cover. Coming up on this very podcast, we'll talk to Sean Hogan from College Hockey Inc. and head coach Dave Kosick of the U18 Esmark Stars, both who know all there is to know about preparing players to get an opportunity in college hockey. But let's get things going in the AGHF as we link up with Brooke Ammerman-Reimer. Brooke, I think the most appropriate introduction here is as Deputy Commissioner of the AGHF, but that barely begins to tell your hockey story. A two-time national champion at Wisconsin, world champion with Team USA, and even played professionally. So what has driven you to devote your life to hockey?
Obviously, hockey is a huge part of my life. My younger sister, Brittany, also played for the Badgers and had a similar career with the U18 national team. It's given us a ton of opportunities. We had a lot of success. And as I got older and saw the girls' game really grow, I felt it was appropriate to dedicate my time and try to make a career out of it to help grow the game, get the girls' game where it deserves to be, and give back my time. And I've been lucky enough to find a really good home at the Ice Vault in Wayne, New Jersey. Started the Girls Bandits program. We've exploded in the last 2 years. Had this opportunity to take the AGHF on. So now tackling, for now, the entire East Coast and doing what's right by the girls and having the necessary backing to get us where we need to be.
Going back to when you were growing up playing in New Jersey, how was that path from New Jersey to Wisconsin, given that the game wasn't as organized then as it is now?
Yeah, I mean, it was very different for me. I'm 32 years old, so 15 years ago, the girls' game in New Jersey looked a lot different. My sister and I could name everybody on one hand that played in New Jersey. I had to play up a lot of my career. And then when I was 15 years old, I made the decision to go to Naha in Stowe, Vermont to fit what I needed, which then helped me get to Wisconsin and be successful there. What's really nice now in the last 15 years is there's so many girls playing in New Jersey. We have close to 100 just in Wayne, New Jersey, in the Ice Vault. The Atlantic District's done a phenomenal job with the teams that we have there. So it's really cool and heartwarming for me to see how far it's come and how many girls can play. And now that we can have really young teams just be all girls is really, really cool.
One of the unique aspects of the AGHF is that the operational leadership is handled exclusively by women. And obviously, you're a big part of that. How does that augment the experience for the girls playing in the league today?
Between myself, Nikki Miller, and Rebecca Morse, I feel that we have a fire and a passion to do what's right by the women and these young girls. And we really are motivated to get what they need. And we have to fight a lot of battles and have been through it when we were younger to see what the girls can get now versus when I was young and playing. I think it's really special and unique. And I think it really had to be done this way. I think women need to help women. And I think we can only progress along this track if we're looking out for each other.
Recently concluded the first AGHF showcase. What did you observe about the state of girls hockey in the Mid-Atlantic at that event?
I think it's growing at a tremendous rate. Most of the games were super competitive. The speed of the game was really, really good at the older levels. A lot of the feedback from the referees that got the opportunity to work with the girls in North Jersey came up to me and were like, it was really a pleasure. The girls are playing at a high pace. They play the game really well, and they're super talented. We're looking forward to having the opportunity to work with them more, which is really nice to hear because I see it every day, and I can see where these girls are going and how different it is than when I played. And then on the flip side, seeing as young as 10U and 12U girls have really strong teams and the joy and the excitement that it brings to a rink, it's just different. So overall, I think it was a really good start, and there's a lot more we can do. But girls hockey is really on the rise.
It is, indeed. In fact, Pee Wee Quebec launching a girls division for the first time this season, and the AGHF is going to have a team there. You must be both proud and excited for the girls that are going to have the opportunity to step onto the world stage.
Yeah, I think that is going to be tremendous. That is a really prestigious tournament. It's really exciting that now they have this girls division, and they're going to get the experience that they deserve with other girls. I know other girls have played in the co-ed boys division, but being the first to lead them with an all-female staff, with we have 17 skaters, 2 goalies, all committed and all excited, it's really exciting to be the first. So that's something they'll take with them as they move on. And I'm really excited to get going and see what it's all about and then start that too. And with years to come, how much that's going to grow and how much better that's going to get is going to be really cool.
And moving forward for the girls that are playing AGHF now, and as someone who made it to the high college ranks, how do you pass that passion for college hockey along to the youngsters that you're coaching today?
Yeah, I think it's really special because I had the opportunity to do it at a really high level. So it's pretty special to be able to mentor these young girls and their parents to see what they're capable of. It doesn't have to always be Division I. Division III is awesome. That game has really grown. Club hockey, to have that piece, to go to a college and be part of a team. So we're going to try and explore all the avenues for the girls. And it'll be really interesting to see where our girls from the entire league end up in the next 5 years. Because there are a lot of really good hockey players. And I know that a lot of people can say that now throughout North America. But I think the AGHF is going to help propel some of these girls that didn't even know it was possible by getting to see what's possible at a very young age.
So your message to players out there, whether they're playing for fun or with a college commitment targeted, what is it?
That's an interesting question. I think hockey's a unique sport. My husband was also a professional hockey player. And I think looking back, we both have a really, really positive experience, and it really set us up for an awesome future. So being part of that locker room, being part of a unique sport and the places it'll take you, whether you play in college, a national team, high-level club hockey, I think the goal is for all the girls to look back and say, I'm really happy I did it. And then hopefully as they go on to college and past college, they'll, you know, get back and start coaching some of these teams, because we need more women coaching these young girls so they can see what's possible.
Well, keep up the good work. We're going to keep an eye on the AGHF all year long. And thank you so much for taking some time out of your day today.
Thank you so much, too.
That's Brooke Ammerman-Reimer, and what a tremendous asset to Federation Hockey, bringing her world-class experience and passion to the AGHF. Now let's swing it over to the AHF and visit with Michael Sudya, a forward who's been getting it done for the U13 New Jersey Stars. Michael, you win some and you lose some, but it looks like the Stars come to battle every time out in games this year. Tell me a little bit about your team.
My team, I mean, we started off strong, start of the year. As of lately, we've been struggling to put pucks in the back of the net, but have been putting up tough games.
So how old were you when you started playing, and what part of being a hockey player do you like the most?
Personally, I started playing when I was 4, and I feel like my favorite part about being a hockey player is just the sport and being with the boys and everyone. Just that atmosphere feels amazing.
Now, you have several multi-point games already this year, and the season is still young. So how would you describe yourself as a player? What's your style?
I think a playmaker describes me the best. I mean, I run our power play really well. I get a lot of assists. I feel like that's a big part of my game. It's not always looking to score. It's always looking to see what you can do for your team.
That's an important part on any team, no doubt about it. So where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Like, what are you working towards in hockey?
I'm working towards to make it D1, to get a college, graduate from college. I mean, that's always been my dream.
Is there any tip or advice that you've received in your career that you think you could share to help out younger players that might be listening to this?
Trust the process. I feel like you got to be patient. You got to be willing to work a little bit. And if you're not going to do that, it's not going to come easy to you in life.
Wise words from a young man. Michael, thank you so much for hopping on, and wish you the best of luck this weekend. Okay, bud?
Thank you.
Michael Sudya, everyone, and with that kind of perspective, he's giving himself a great chance to rise through the ranks as his career unfolds. Hey, if you or your child share Michael's goal of playing college hockey, you've come to the right podcast. Sean Hogan of College Hockey Inc. comes aboard right after this quick timeout. Today's athletes deserve more than just a sports drink. With potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, plus B vitamins, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, Body Armor Sports Drink provides hard-working hydration and more. Body Armor, more than just a sports drink. Stock up on Body Armor at your local retailer. Trust Breakaway to provide your team with the highest quality sports apparel, custom uniforms, and spirit wear. Breakaway has built their reputation on being a leader and innovator in the industry, and the product line is equaled by best-in-class customer service. Visit breakawaysports.net to browse an online catalog and discover your custom outfitting solutions. Pure Hockey is the largest hockey retailer in the United States and the ultimate hockey headquarters for all your equipment needs. Whether you're just getting started or an experienced player, Pure Hockey has the widest selection of gear to keep your game covered. Visit one of Pure Hockey's 60-plus retail locations throughout the U.S. or shop online at purehockey.com. We're back with the Federation Hockey Podcast, and as some of you may have heard, there's a Federation Education Series taking place, and we are very lucky to have with us today Sean Hogan from College Hockey Incorporated. Sean, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here today. I appreciate the opportunity. Anytime I have a chance to talk about NCAA hockey, or all college hockey in general, I'm excited about it, so thank you.
First things, before we get into the details, could you just speak to the mission of College Hockey Incorporated and its place in American youth hockey?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I think there is, you know, a lot of misconceptions as to what we do. So we do a variety of things at College Hockey Inc. One of the things that we do is we partner with NCAA Division I athletic departments, and we work with those athletic departments to try to create more NCAA Division I teams. And I am confident to say that there will be more in the future and not less. And that's great news for your audience, because more teams means more scholarships. It means more of an opportunity to pursue NCAA hockey. So that's one of the things that we do. We do a lot of research, and perhaps some of your listeners have seen some of our research in terms of our path studies, meaning that we take a look at where players play from the ages of 15 to 20 on their road to NCAA Division I and on their road to the NHL, and we measure that. So we can take a look at where players played and the age at which things happen. So a lot of our materials and our presentations will cover that topic. But really, at our core, what College Hockey Inc. was created to do just over 10 years ago, was to educate the young aspiring players, just like the player in our audience, the young aspiring players and their families and their coaches about the benefits of pursuing NCAA hockey, because hockey is so unique. It's different than other sports. You have choices on your road to the highest level in the world. A football player doesn't have that choice, right? A football player is going to play high school football. They're going to play football at their university, be drafted from their university, and have an opportunity in the NFL. Hockey players have choices. They can play major junior hockey. They can play college hockey. They can go overseas. They can do a variety of things. So we're the organization that markets the benefits of pursuing NCAA hockey, and we do that in a variety of ways.
And I think that really sets you apart, because you're not necessarily trying to draw people in just to listen to your message, but as you stated, you are working directly with the college hockey programs. So how did that relationship develop, and what have you learned from those relationships that allows you to present your case to prospective players?
So we develop relationships with every NCAA Division I program, and each school offers unique things. Let's talk first about the growth initiative. So we've partnered with the NHL. The NHL is willing to pay any school to have a feasibility study. So any NCAA Division I school that wants to add Division I hockey, men's or women's, the NHL has partnered with us to help pay for that study. So that's really a key cog in terms of growing college hockey and creating more teams and to get schools interested, is to say, hey, up front, it's not going to cost you anything to at least explore this project. So our meetings, when it comes to meeting with NCAA Division I athletic departments, it's not about selling them on, let's add college hockey. The sell is, hey, let's look into it. Let's see what the feasibility study says. It's not going to cost you anything. And then we can go from this point going forward to see if it makes sense to add Division I hockey. So that's how the growth initiative works. And then in terms of we serve as a resource for every NCAA Division I coach when it comes to maybe they're recruiting a Canadian player who has strong interest in going to the OHL, for example. We do all that research to show them the amount of NCAA players in the NHL, the amount of first-round picks, those type of things, to show a player, a coach can come to us and get that information and help in their recruiting process. So we're on the phone, me in particular. I'm in constant contact with NCAA Division I assistant coaches almost daily.
What are some of the most common myths that you have to dispel when you're talking to parents and prospective players?
I think the biggest misperception is just that somehow the CHL will get their son to the NHL quicker. There's been that perception for a long time, and again, we studied that. So it's for an American player, 86% of the Americans in the NHL chose NCAA hockey. And the most recent stat, here's a real telling stat when it comes to the improvement of NCAA hockey over the years, outside of the numbers of just NHL players. The first 5 years of College Hockey Inc., from 2010 to about 2015, there was 29 Americans drafted in the first round, and only 11 played NCAA hockey at that point. In the last 5 years, there's been 30 first-round picks that were Americans, and 29 of them played NCAA hockey. The other one was Jack Hughes. He didn't play in the CHL either. He just went directly from the national program to the NHL. Right. So that's the most telling stat in terms of it's not only about you know the sheer numbers, but the quality of NCAA hockey and how much it's grown has been tremendous in the last decade and a half or so.
And there's no doubt about that the game is better and it's more accessible to more people. But buried in there is you go play in the CHL and it doesn't work out, what do you have? And if you go to NCAA and it doesn't work out, at least you're leaving with a college degree, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, I don't want to throw all these stats and numbers out there, but another intriguing stat of NCAA men's hockey is 93% of the athletes are earning their degree. That's always in the top five for graduation rates. And sometimes it's the number one graduation rate in all of the NCAA. So you're right. You're not only pursuing your dreams of playing in the NHL, you're doing that while earning your degree. And then all the benefits of going to school, right? All the benefits of from 18 to 22 or 20 to 24 of going to a university, you're getting all those benefits as well. And you're still an NHL prospect.
There's always going to be a certain element where someone's identified at 10 years old, 12 years old as a blue chip prospect, right? So for the people who aren't those blue chip prospects, who maybe haven't hit their growth spurt or are struggling to get to the second or first line on their own team, or just haven't hit that button yet, what can they do to market themselves to college programs at the younger ages in order to be in the game when the time comes?
Well, first off, I think, you know, one of the things about the NCAA development path, I'll call it, is it's not a rush, right? Like, you're not going to go to college at 16. You're not going to go to college at 17. You're likely, the average commitment age for NCAA Division I hockey is almost 19 years old. And a typical freshman is over the age of 20. So you have a little bit of a longer development path. And you don't need to be in a rush at 15 or 16. We actually do a lot of research on this topic in particular, because what we do find is American players that do sign in the CHL, there's a rush. They feel like they got to go somewhere and be in this rush. So we take a look at exactly the age at which things happen. So you can slow down the process. And one of the biggest misperceptions out there across the U.S. Really is the level of play at 18U hockey. There's a feeling there that at the age of 16 or 17, if you're not playing junior hockey, you're somehow behind the eight ball. And we just found that's not true. We looked at all 1,700 NCAA Division I players, and at the age of 17, I think it was like 40%. I'd have to look at the exact number. We're playing 18U hockey. They need that extra year of development at 17 years old, graduate high school, and then go play junior hockey. But one of the things you can do as a young player, I mean, there are some NCAA rules. You cannot have contact with an NCAA Division I coach prior to January 1st of 10th grade. But if you're after 10th grade, if you're in 10th grade and you're in your second semester, or you're in 11th grade, by all means, reach out to NCAA coaches. We actually, on our website at collegehockeyinc.com, have every assistant coach's email listed there because they want to be contacted by young players. Keep the emails brief. Don't write a book. I mean, and tailor the email to the coach. I've seen mistakes where players send out mass emails to all the schools and misname coaches and things like that. But take the time to write a personal email about why you're interested in the university, why you're interested in the hockey program, and where you're playing at the time. And you can start communication that way, provided it's after January 1st of grade 10.
Is it fair for players to have expectations? Should someone panic if they're 17 years old and have never been met by a scout coming off the ice? Or is it, in fact, true that everyone has their own path?
Here's what I'll say. So, yes. And what I like to say, though, is the path actually is pretty similar for everybody. You're going to play, likely you're going to play 18U hockey, likely. Then you're going to play in the North American League or the USHL. And then you're going to go to NCAA Division I. Now, what is different than the path is the timeline. For some of those kids, you'll be in the USHL at 16 years old. Maybe you're one of those guys. But if you're not, like most players, and you don't get to the USHL, the North American League, until 18 or even 19 years old, that's what's different. It's not the timeline, right? The timeline is different for kids. And likely you'll have to play one of those or the NCDC to get to NCAA Division I. But the timeline is different for all the players. There's going to be kids that do it as young as 16 and guys that don't get there until 20. And there's no reason to panic wherever you're at 17 or 18 to pull the chute. The worst thing you can do is walk away. Stick with it and then pick your head up at the end of each season and see where you're at, what the next step should be.
Is there a general bit of advice that you would give to a player who's thinking about pursuing a college career but doesn't quite know where to start?
I would. The best thing you can make, go to our website, collegehockeyinc.com. There's so much good information there. And what makes us unique, again, I'll remind everybody of this. What makes college hockey unique, and I think makes us special, really, is that we're a 100% free organization. There's never a charge for what we do. We are funded by the NHL and USA Hockey to educate families about NCAA hockey and the process in getting there. So anytime you have a question about it, anytime you have a concern about it, you can reach out to me. Happy to answer your questions. There's not a charge for our information. But there's a ton of great info on our website, from learning how to contact coaches, how to create a hockey resume, the different leagues the schools are in, the different levels of college hockey. And we're happy to help provide that information at any time for no charge.
Hosting a couple of webinars on behalf of the Federation hockey groups. One is passed, but one's still coming up Wednesday, October 19th at 7 p.m. What can people expect if and when they join you?
There'll be a ton of great information. So really what you can expect in these presentations is they're about 30 to 35 minutes. The beginning of it is just kind of the NCAA and the relationship with the NHL and what those numbers look like today. And then you're viewing this presentation with the thought of, okay, if I ever have to make a choice between the CHL and NCAA hockey, what are the benefits of NCAA hockey? So we'll cover that. But then a big chunk of it is what it looks like. What can a player expect at the age of 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 years old on their road to NCAA hockey? The age at which things happen, NCAA rules around commitments and what commitments look like. What do scholarships cover? Some of the academic components. So there's really kind of the meat and potatoes of what it means to play NCAA sports will also be in the webinar.
That's Sean Hogan from College Hockey Inc. Sean, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate being here. Anytime I can talk about it, I get excited about it. And like I said, we're a free organization. If you have questions about it, reach out to me. Happy to help.
He does not exaggerate, folks. The College Hockey Inc. website is a goldmine of information for potential college players. And do yourself a favor by attending the next scheduled webinar. That's Wednesday, October 19th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Find registration links under the news tabs at both the AHF and the THF websites. Coach Dave Kosick has sent more than his fair share of players onto college programs, and he's up next on the Federation Hockey Podcast. Sit tight. Apex Learning Virtual School can help players of all ages manage both school and hockey this season. Enroll anytime and manage when and where you complete your schoolwork. ALVS is flexible and designed to fit around conditioning, training, practice, and travel to tournaments. Visit ALVS.com or call 206-489-1079 for more information and to enroll now. Finally, a solution for hockey fanatics who never got a chance to actually play the game. Join the largest adult learn-to-play hockey program in the United States, Foundry Adult Hockey's Get in the Game. Designed for adults with limited or no hockey experience, Get in the Game covers the fundamentals of skating, puck skills, and gameplay. Visit FoundryAdultHockey.com today to get out of the stands and get in the game. back on the Federation Hockey Podcast, and let's talk THF. To do that, we welcome in U18 head coach Dave Kosick of the Esmark Stars, representing the greater Pittsburgh area. Coach, new year, new league. How has the introduction to the THF gone for you and the Stars so far?
I'd say pretty good, to be honest with you. I think you hit the butt when you said new year, new league. So we're working our way through each of those steps, but so far, so all right.
You're leading a team that's got a top 20 ranking already this year. How do you balance game results with developing individual players for higher levels with a team with that kind of talent?
Development of players is still priority number one and two. You know, the results allow you to benefit where you may with the rankings, but the development aspect is still the most important to us. So, you know, we're built upon making sure that our players are getting better. If we do a successful job and they come together, then you get to see the results, such as where we currently stand in the polls.
And how do you identify an individual success story when you're kind of taking stock of players that you've coached either currently or in the past?
Well, success is judged in many avenues. You know, if it's solely predicated on hockey, is it a guy who goes on to play professional hockey or, you know, collegiate hockey or junior hockey? But probably just important is that the impact that you have on young people's lives and whether or not that impact allows them to become good citizens, productive members of society, so forth. So I've been coaching a long period of time. I have success stories that have gone on to play at every level of the game. But probably as important, if not more important to me, are players that come back 25, 30 years after I've coached them and share with me what they believe is the impact we've had on their lives. And so at the end of the day, I'll hang my hat on that. We all like the good results on the ice. We all like to be able to tell the stories about players who have gone off to play at the National Hockey League. But, you know, when you coached as long as I have, you're glad to see the impact that you've had has been productive.
Western PA has long been known as a breeding ground for football talent. But over the past two decades, it's as vibrant a youth hockey scene as there is in North America. As one of the architects for that growth, what's been the driving force for Pittsburgh hockey really arriving on the scene?
Well, I wish I knew the secret formula. I'm not sure I do. I mean, it'd be great because you could bottle it. I think that the area's produced some good coaches. And so the good coaches have helped bring players into the area. It's helped produce better players in the area, and the results sort of speak for themselves. You're correct. I mean, at one point in time, we were a football hotbed. I don't know that if the Western Pennsylvania area is still judged as a primary area for football. It sort of changed. Maybe it's gone more to Florida or Texas. But yeah, we've had a good run of hockey. We've had a number of players drafted in the National Hockey League come out of the area, including, I think, the third round or the third selection in the first round this year. So, you know, a lot of hard work done by organizations in town and coaches in town.
You never know when the right word of advice is going to land in the right ears. So what's one trait that you would strive to instill in every player that's come through your program, having coached as long as you have?
Blue-collar work ethic. I'm a coach who I think other coaches have probably shared the same philosophy, and that is I'd take 20 players who have strong blue-collar effort over one or two guys who are high pedigree that somehow think that the world revolves around them. And so every player that comes through our program, there's a lot of preaching and a lot of discussion on making sure that we stay true to that. You know, our work ethic is how we're going to be judged. This game requires a little bit of blood, a little bit of sweat, a little bit of tears. And if you're not willing to invest those into this game, the results will eventually show you to the door.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. I'm really happy you were able to join us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
That's Dave Kosick, a driving force behind Pittsburgh AAA hockey and the Esmark Stars. Hey, before we get out of here, we want to remind you to check out the THF Game of the Week every week. Available through the THF app and the THF website. And if you've got one of your own sick plays caught on video, upload it through the tab on your respective Federation website. Who knows? You might just go viral. Hey, that's a wrap for this edition of the Federation Hockey Podcast. Look forward to getting together with you again next time. Quick reminder that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are attributable only to the individuals who share them and are not necessarily reflective of Federation Hockey, its parent organization, or its affiliates. Thanks for listening.